Good morning, saints, and good morning, sinners. What a beautiful presentation of the gospel. And I was watching my sister here, and did you see what alleluia is in sign language? Isn't that beautiful? Lifting holy hands to God Almighty. What a Savior we serve. I invite you to take your Bible and turn to the fourth gospel, the third chapter, the Gospel of John, the third chapter, beginning with verse 14. We pick up right in the midst of a conversation that Jesus is having with Nicodemus, a member of the ruling Jewish council. He was an intellectual who came by night to see Jesus. He knew that in all of his intellectual quest, he still had a thirst that had not been satisfied. And so by the time we get to verse 14, the gospel writer is beginning to take up the conversation. And he's elaborating on what Jesus and Nicodemus have been talking about. And he gives us the essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. Hear now the word of God from the verses that precede John 3:16 and follow John 3:16. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen clearly, plainly, that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Almighty God, just give us Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When Jesus was crucified on that cross, it seemed like the dream had ended, Rome had won, everything went back to status quo. Years later, even decades later, as the disciples of Jesus Christ looked back upon that event, they decided that that was the day that the revolution began. Now, in the teaching of Jesus leading up to the cross, it was evident that he was going to the cross. Now, let's go back today, a little rehearsal of what we did last Sunday. There was one verse I gave for memorization. It was Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. May I never boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to it. May I never boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Now, in that explanation of that verse, the writer is saying this: the cross stands as a barrier between us and the world. It is that permanent barrier which shields us from the world, to the point that the world's ways of doing things are not to be our ways. We are to have a different way of confronting every issue. We also concluded that the cross, according to this verse given to us by Paul, is the means through which we look out into the world. So name the issue, whether it be personal, national, moral, whatever, we look through the lens of the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, as we turn to our text today, and we come midstream into that conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus, we have this: lift high the cross of Jesus Christ. Lift high the cross of Jesus Christ. Just as the snake in the wilderness was lifted high, we are to lift high the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, in Numbers chapter 21, we have the story, the backstory to that one phrase: just as the serpent or the snake was lifted high, so must the Son of Man be lifted high. And it goes like this: the Israelites were in the wilderness. They were impatient and they began grumbling. They spoke against God and they spoke against Moses. They said, there's no bread, there's no water, there's no good food to eat. So the Lord, Yahweh, caused serpents to come into the camp and bit the people. And many of them died. So the Israelites came to God and said, to Moses, and said, we sinned against God and against you, pray that the Lord takes the snakes away. So Moses, the text says, prayed for all the people. And then the Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it up on a pole so that anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake, put it on a pole, so that anyone who was bitten could look up at that bronze snake and be healed and live. So the Son of Man, Jesus, must be lifted up so that all who believe in him may have eternal life. Now, this phrase, lifted up, appears three times in the Gospel of John. None other than Martin Luther, the 16th century reformer, said this: the Lord himself shows us the method for interpreting Moses. He teaches us that Moses points to Christ in all of his stories. Now, listen closely. In this serpent or snake, God has prefigured his own Son for the people of Israel. His Son Jesus was to assume the form of an accursed and damned man, yes, even that of a serpent. And he became the Savior of the world. Now, when I lift high this cross, where does your eyes gaze? On the cross. on the cross. We have too much gazing going on at the eye-to-eye level, to the point that we get upset with one another. We start dividing into camps. And what Jesus is saying to us personally, nationally, morally, religiously, he's saying, lift high this cross and keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Because he is the bridge that unites God to humankind. It was only the 4th century A.D., that this cross became something to be gloried in. No one would talk about the cross until then, especially in polite conversation. It was hideous to do so. But in the Gospel of John, in late 1st century AD, when it was written, already John says this: it's through the cross that Jesus Christ is exalted and through whom he is glorified. So what is the problem you're facing today? What is the issue that has you bogged down? Is it relational? Then how can you look at that person through the cross? And in all ways, live high the cross and focus on Jesus Christ. Now, John tells us why Jesus did what he did. Look with me in John 3:16. Why is he lifted high? Why did he go to that cross for us? It's because God loves you. God loves you and me. Would you say this verse with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's say that one more time. And when you get to the word world, I want you to insert your name. I want you to insert your name. You ready? For God so loves John that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should never perish, but have eternal life. Did you hear that? He was lifted up. He was crucified out of love. Why did he do what he did? Now, in 1995, there was a novel published by Nicholas Evans called The Horse Whisperer. 3 years later, this story was made into a movie, and Robert Redford was the star. In this novel, the Whisperer is a man who is able to establish a unique relationship between a human and a horse. Instead of using spurs or whips, instead of harsh words or harsh tactics, the horse whisperer is able to communicate with the animal and to change the very behavior of that horse. Out of that has come a host of whisperers. But you know, being a whisperer is nothing new. In the 17th century, there was a book published on the work, the art, and the sport of falconry. This century, the 17th, was not particularly kind to anyone. It was a harsh century. But in 1619, there was a book published by Edmund Burt, and here's what he said. There is no way but gentleness to redeem a hawk. There is no way but gentleness to redeem a hawk. And then decades later, Nicholas Cox said, you must by kindness make the hawk gentle and familiar with you. So these falconers were the first bird whisperers. You know, there's three ways to deal with bad behavior. One way is to ignore it. That gets us nowhere. The other way is to condemn it. Deliver ultimatums. Break off all connections and reject the individual. Does that work with you? And then there's the way God chose to do it. The God whisperer. That when we were going about our way, He hung on this cross. And He whispered, I love you. And it's written in my blood. You see, the cross not only says God loves us, it says He did not come to condemn you, but to save you. The Bible says if we believe in Him, we're not condemned. But if we condemn ourselves when we do not accept His Son, He's on the cross whispering, I love you. And when you turn away from Him, you and I are the ones condemning ourselves. And then thirdly, He came to shed light on you and on me. You see, our problem is this. We love the darkness. Our deeds, the Bible says, are evil. We will not come into the light because we fear that our deeds may be exposed. But if we live by the truth, we come into the light. A century ago, there was a Scottish pastor by the name of Thomas Chalmers. He would preach and would often admonish his people to examine their lives. And he discovered that that could be fruitless and it could be tiring and to no avail. He once compared self-examination to a dark room full of objects. We can't see what is there because it is pitch black. The darkness of the room is the reason that looking at ourselves is often so fruitless. We look and we say, I need to examine myself. But we do it out of our own approach. And then we get frustrated and we go deeper into despair. Here is what Chalmers said we need to do. We need to go over to the window and open the blinds and let the light come in. Let the light come in. As He was on that cross, that light was coming down to you and me. I want to ask you, as a body of believers, over the course of the next 2 weeks, to pray for our youth spring advance. This is one of the seasons in youth ministry where darkness can turn to light. We have a speaker, Michael Henderson, African American, Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee, coming to speak to our young people. They tell me, as young people, even at Easley High, that if you want drugs, you can get it. You want to get drunk, you can do it. You want to be promiscuous? We need to pray for our young people and for what will take place, that they will step more into the light and live in the truth. And the more that I live in Easley, South Carolina, and talk with our police, including our police chief, the more I'm convinced that what we're going to do on March the 24th from 2 to 4 p.m., where we're praying God will send us 500 children and parents to give them not only candy, but to give them Jesus, is so important that they feel the love of Jesus Christ. I remember years ago, there was a principal at East End Elementary by the name of Don Batson. And into his school walked a beautiful young girl. And Don Batson got on his knees and he hugged her and looked her in the eye. And for the first time, she felt the love from a man, especially. We need help. Whatever age you are, would you go out to that table and would you find out some way to help? There's some child out there now that is wondering in Easley, South Carolina, does anybody care? And this past week, I had a phone call. He's in his 30s. 21 years ago, I baptized him. And he called to say thank you. He took me out for a lunch. He said, I want to tell you thank you. And then he said, in 2016, he said, I made a deeper peace with God. He said, prior to 2016, I was hooked on alcohol. I was hooked on prescription drugs. I was hooked on marijuana. And I was even trying another drug when my wife was expecting our second child. And I said, why did you do that? He said, John, my baptism was real. But after that, I neglected my walk. And I just started putting one darkness on top of the other darkness, on top of the other darkness, on top of the other darkness. But then, the cross became real. I know, as a matter of fact, today somebody's walking in darkness. What in darkness do you want? Jesus Christ was lifted up for you. I want to ask you on this invitation to go all in and all out for the all in all. All in and all out for the all in all. My friend told me, he said, John, I wasted a decade of my life . It's time we not sit there anymore. It's time we get up and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, Almighty God, precious Lord and tender Spirit. We love you so very much. Now, as this time of invitation comes, Lord, fill us with the desire to let your light penetrate every corner of our lives. And then to make our peace with Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is the very familiar hymn. You may not even need a book. Just as I am, without one plea, would you stand and come forward? Dean and Kent, would you please come and stand beside me? Kent and Dean Dykes. Kent, a long-term member of our church. Today, his wife, Dean, comes today for church membership, having already walked with us, been active within our church. And they come today, or she does, for church membership. Just recently, they were married. I officiated the service. Celebrating in their new life together in new beginnings. Is there a motion for church membership? Is there a second? All who will commit to loving, encouraging, praying, getting to know them, would you please stand and say, "Welcome, Dean." You look in the choir. And Rick, she was a soloist. Soloist. On the main floor here in the balcony. Welcome home.
Thank you so much.
I know you began this life as a Baptist.
I certainly did.
I think Episcopal.
Episcopal and Catholic.
And
coming back home.
And now coming back home to Baptist. Wow. Coming home to Jesus. Would you take a few moments and in the narthex, would you come and express your love and your blessings to Kent and to Dean? And then, would you please make your way to that table and sign up for your specific way to reach this city through our children? Everybody, every child needs to know that he or she is loved. And if you're a guest, bring your card. I got a gift for you. It's called a candy bar. Okay? It's a candy bar because we want you to know what a sweet experience it is to have you here today. And last Sunday, Sarah Bishop was here. She celebrated 95 years old. Today, Louise Hudson is 95 years old. I don't believe she's here because of health. But reach out to these two ladies and encourage them. 95 is quite a milestone. Let's have our prayer now, our benediction. Please join me, Dean and Chris. Almighty God, we love you so very much. Thank you so much for loving us. May we lift high the cross so that all may be drawn to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.